Good morning, Waipuna Chapel. How you doing? My name is Kaipo Thomas, one of the pastors here. This is my daughter, Kalea Kai Thomas. I figure I'm preaching for 1 month. She got to come with me at least one time, huh? How you doing? You ready? Come preach. Yeah, so, Lea is Joy, and my wife's middle name is Joy, so we named her The Joy, and then part daddy, Kai, for the middle name, and Thomas for the last. This month, we've been going through the book of 1 Thessalonians. We've been talking about what it means to love God. And, praise God that one of the clearest ways that we can see the love of God is by loving others. You know, not just little babies that are cute and kind and, gentle and, but one of the clearest ways that we can love God is by loving people who aren't cute and cuddly. Amen? Yeah, and that's a clear demonstration that something is up in your life, that something is going on, right? That we love God, and the demonstration of that is by loving people who aren't loving, right? People who actually are like we were to the Lord. In Romans 5, it says that we were enemies to the Lord and enemies, to the gospel. And so, Photo shoot. Hey, look over here. So this morning, we are in the last of our series in 1 Thessalonians. We're going to go through the end of chapter 4 and chapter 5. And we're talking about the most critical aspect, really, of our Christian faith this morning. And I'm super excited for it. We're talking about the resurrection of the dead and Jesus' return. Amen? And she's not going to preach with me the whole time. Can we stand together? I want to read 1 Thessalonians 4, 9. The scriptures will be on the screen. And after we read through the scriptures, remain standing. We'll have, there's a part in this morning's scripture that talks about when the trumpet of the Lord sounds, the dead in Christ will rise first. And so I got about five poos in here, or conch shells, that we're going to blow a few times. And my goal is like Paul's goal, right? The church in Thessalonica, they were non-believers that became believers, and he had taught them well. And they were well informed about the Lord's return. So much so that when Paul wrote to them, he would say, you don't need any more information. And part of that is the trumpet. So as one of the pastors here, we're going to do our best to replicate, in a sense, the trumpet, so that when the trumpet of the Lord sounds, none of us are startled. Amen? Because that is what we're waiting for. I'm not waiting for death. Like I hope I'm alive, when the Lord comes back. I hope it's sooner than later. Amen. And we're not professional pool blowers, so we may get it a few times. It may scratch a couple times, but I think you guys will get the sense of, the Lord's return. And after we blow for a little bit, I'll pray for us. Yeah, and then you guys can be seated, and then we'll get on with this morning's sermon. So, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, I'm starting from verse 9. Now concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. For that is indeed what you are doing to all the brothers throughout Macedonia. But we urge you, brothers, to do this more and more, to aspire to live quietly, to mind your own affairs, to work with your hands as we instructed you, so that you may walk properly before outsiders and be dependent on no one. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so through Jesus God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and the trumpet of the Lord God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. For we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Just be in a posture of prayer for a little bit, and I'll come up and pray after. Jesus, thank you for today. Thank you, Lord, that we have clear words about what's going to happen in the end. Jesus, it is my desire that we here at Waipuna Chapel would be ready for your return, expectant even. Expectant of you, God, to come where we will be reunited once again with all those who have gone before us, God, and to really gaze upon you and your beauty. This morning we took communion in remembrance of you, God. This morning we blow our trumpets, God, in remembrance of the words that you said, and we desire, God, to be raised to new life, Lord, where there's no more sickness and no more pain and no more sorrow, no more sin and the impact of sin. Be with us this morning, Father, as we open up your word. Allow us to encounter you in this time and be encouraged by your word and by one another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. You may be seated. Was that good for you? That was kind of cool, no? Like a month ago, I did a memorial service down at Kihei Canoe Club, and they have a halau, and there's like 15 members, and they all had their own poo, and they all blew it, and I was like, I had never heard something like that, you know? And I was prepping for this, and I was like, well, I'm going to do that. So, you know, I grabbed whichever ones I could, and I had a few other shells in my house, and me and Ty, we cut them and just made our own. So pretty awesome. Pretty awesome. Yeah, it is my desire, you know, and the Lord's desire to prepare us for this great day. Yeah, to prepare us for this great day. You know, when we think about our story for this morning, the Thessalonians, they were made up of Greeks and Romans, Jews, and a few other people groups, right? They worshipped idols. They lived in a divided world of rule, religion, and relationship. Paul, Silas, and Timothy brought the good news. They preached and loved also. Not only shared the gospel, but they shared their lives with the people when they got off of stage. With the power of the Holy Spirit, faith was established. You know, like this is as ungodly. I mean, we talk about the 21st century as being pretty ungodly, right? We see things in the news and we hear things and like, man, that's crazy. Well, this was more ungodly of a place. They had never heard of Jesus. Greeks and Romans worshiping made up gods and images, Zeus and Athena and, you know, Pluto. And they turned from those gods and they served the living true God, and faith was established, yeah? Instead of hating, right, and division, they really went across the way and started loving people that up until that point in their lives, culture had told them to separate themselves. Right, the godly ones of the time, the Jewish people, were the very ones who was trying to create division and separation between them and other people. Right, Jesus was a Jew, and he says, love God, love others. And these are Jews that weren't loving others. They were just loving God, and their definition of loving God was to be separate from the sinful world. May that never be our definition of Christianity. Amen? That we're too clean and too pure and too holy to befriend others and to care for others and to get dirty a little bit with people who are not like us. Amen? That was done for us, no? Right? We were the sinful ones. We were the ones who were separated from God, and somebody came and befriended us. Somebody came and loved on us. I pray that we would do as Paul guys did. Yeah, throw off some traditions and cultures that aren't biblical at all and go and make a friend. Yeah, and they changed their world around them with the gospel message. Yeah, that Jesus lived, loved, he died, he rose again 3 days later. And all those who have faith in Jesus, yeah, are going to overcome the grave as well. They overcame the world, right, with the gospel, with the power of the Holy Spirit, and with love. Amen? Like textured love, right? Uncomfortable love. Along the way, some of them died. Yeah, some of them, like Paul, Silas, and Timothy, had to leave under intense persecution because what they were preaching wasn't what the Jewish community was preaching. They were saying that Jesus was the Messiah, the promised Christ, the Son of the living God, and that was heresy. That was heresy in the church. And so Paul started getting persecuted. They had to bail. And so in the turn, right, as the first generation Thessalonians turned from idols to serve the living and true God, that was visible. Where I wasn't in the temple worshiping other gods, and I wasn't all of a sudden around the same people that had always worshiped these gods. No longer was I participating in the idolatry of that time, and now I was not only not participating in it, but I was telling people, you're worshiping the wrong God. Jesus Christ, the true God, overcame the grave. Have faith in him, right? And eternity is at wait for us. That caused havoc for those people, and they started being persecuted. Some of them died, right? They rubbed people the wrong way. They pushed back against the Roman rule, the Greek culture, and even Jewish belief. And so Paul sends what we read a little bit this morning in the beginning or the middle of chapter 4. He sends them some advice. Hey, guys, keep loving others. Amen? In your struggle, in your strife, in your affliction, people are dying. Your loved ones are dying. Don't stop loving others because that is central to your ministry and central to our life in God. I'm not sure where you guys are in your life, but don't stop loving. Amen? Amen? We can get hurt and we can get discouraged. It can be tiring and hurtful sometimes. Hatred. Suffocating. Amen? Anybody around that sometimes? Judgmentalism, right? And you're just like, gosh. What's going to counter that? Love, right? As we model and demonstrate sacrificial love, man, people are going to get it, right? I want the world to get darker because it's going to make us shine brighter, amen? I don't want the world to have a God-ish. I want them to be either really dark or really godly, you know? Because I think in Christianity in the 21st century, it's gray, right? We live in a Christian country, and Christianity gets a bad rap sometimes because we don't have Christians who represent it well. You know, but let us represent it well. Amen? With sacrificial love, yeah. So Paul would say, live quiet lives, mind your own affairs, work with your hands, that you may walk properly amongst them and that you might not be dependent on anyone, right? That they wouldn't be borrowing from others, and so the lender is leaning on them a little bit. He wants them to be self-sustaining, self-supportive, trusting God, supporting one another, yeah, and working hard at it. So Paul goes on to continue, and he starts talking about the Lord's return, yeah, as the most critical. Jesus left, right? He came back from the dead. He was resurrected, and the truth is that when we have faith in Jesus Christ, that's what's going to happen to us. But not only is the resurrection part, but he wanted to make sure that they were well-informed about the Lord's return. And so they were well-informed, yeah, and with hope in the good news that Jesus died and rose again. Yeah, through Jesus, God will bring those who have fallen asleep. And when we're talking about asleep, sleep was a common way to express death. Christians called death sleep. Christians actually emphasize death as a thing of rest. Christians would rename cemeteries to be like dormitories or even like sleeping places, you know, because they didn't believe that that was final. Amen? That that wasn't final. That they were only at rest until the Lord, yeah, is returning. But for unbelievers, the Bible never refers to death as a rest. I'm sure you guys have seen the acronym RIP, yeah? The rest in peace. The truth is, yeah, for us as believers, peace is offered to us right now. That we can have Christ in us and the Spirit in us, and in the midst of a world that is falling apart, we can have peace because our God holds it all in the palm of his hand. Not only in this world, but we can have peace in the next world. Amen? Because our Father, right, Jesus Christ, has overcome the grave. But for those who are not believers, yeah, there is short-term, if any, peace in this life. And there definitely isn't peace in the next. Yeah. But that's similar a little bit for us this morning. If you're new this morning and you're not a believer and you're invited, just take a breath. Take a breath. Take it easy. There's some good promises this morning. Yeah, there's some great promises in the scripture for opportunity, right? Opportunity for us to come and to know this loving God that we have. And so the Lord Jesus will descend, yeah, with the cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and the sound of the trumpets of God will happen. And at that moment, the dead in Christ will rise first. Then those still living in Christ will rise next. My hope is that I wouldn't die from like health-related causes for some crazy accident, you know. Like, I want to be healthy enough, hopefully, right, to be taken up by the Lord, man, to see him coming back, you know, and to hear those words, good, you know, well done, good and faithful servant, amen. Anybody want to hear those words? Praise God that Scripture clearly outlines for us, right, how it is we can live as faithful people. To abandon sin and a sinful life and to chase after God and a life of righteousness. I love communion and the songs that Pastor Trevor chose this morning, right? That we are covered by the blood of Christ and we stand righteous before God today. Is that good? You can't even stand righteous before your own self right now. Right? We know ourselves and our flaw and our error, but because of our faith in the Lord and the blood and the completed work of Jesus on the cross, man, God looks at us justified. You guys remember what that stands for? Just as if nothing happened, amen? Is that good for you today? That we can stand before God, right, having been forgiven and cleansed, just as if nothing happened. About about the dead in Christ who rise first. I have some questions. So can I go deeper a little bit? Hopefully you guys won't get too sidetracked, but I want to push back a little bit about some of the common understandings we have about those who've died. And I try to say this as tenderly as I can. Because I know just in my own life and my own family, we've lost many loved ones. One of the earliest memories I have as a boy was going to my mom's brother's funeral. He got into a car accident with a drunk driver, and you know, I remember when I was 8th grade. My grandpa passed away. You know, in high school, I had a bunch of friends pass away. Recently, you know, being an adult, man, we live on a small island, you know, and a lot of people go on to be with the Lord, and it brings me comfort to know that they knew the Lord. But some of the things that people say in the time of comfort to comfort people may not be totally biblical. It's not unbiblical, but I'm just going to challenge our thought process a little bit, and I want to reaffirm the truth about what Scripture is telling us. Is that right? And so just from a pastor's heart, like I don't know your story, but in this place, I trust that many have died, yeah? And I don't want to, I'm not giving this to discourage you, but I believe there's some real hope in Scripture if we know what Scripture says about those who've died. We good? Okay. So a couple things. So my question is, where do the dead rise from? Right? So if the dead in Christ rise first, my thought is, where are they rising from? Because is popular thought is that those who die who are believers automatically go to heaven. But if Paul, for Paul, he was like, the dead in Christ rise first, and then we who are alive still yet will meet them in the clouds. My thought is they're not in heaven yet. Which may have been delivered to you in your time of sorrow and grief. Right? Like, trust God because they're in heaven. They're in better hands now. Stay with me. Okay? Stay with me. We got guardrails to help us in this discussion. Praise God. Before God, all of eternity is before him. Creation and the end. So what I'm talking about is, how do we explain with one another the roadmap after we die? Yeah? After we take our last breath here, what does the roadmap look like? But trust that all of that is before God already. Yeah? Beginning, the end, all right before him. Jesus resurrected from the dead, not just in spirit and soul, but in a redeemed body. Like, what does Jesus do when he comes back? Like, when he's resurrected, he hangs out for 40 days. What are some of the things he do? He eats, no? He goes up to Thomas and says, like, come touch, feel the scars. Yeah? I mean, he's healed and redeemed, but he's in bodily form also, no? And so these are the guardrails. In sometimes in our minds, we separate because we look at a dead person and we're like, man, that's not the same person. And so in our minds, there's a separation between body and soul and body and spirit. For Jesus, he wasn't an aura when he came back from the dead. He was the resurrected Jesus in a resurrected, redeemed body. It's good? And I want that to be clear, because how we comfort people, yeah, or how we've been comforted sometimes, talk about the separation of just our spirits are alive. But that's not the promise. The promise in Scripture is that the dead in Christ will rise first, and the bodies that we have will be a redeemed body. I'm not sure what it's going to look like. Amen? But it's going to be in bodily form. We're not going to be like floating angelic spirit things. That's not what the promise of the empty tomb guarantees us. Amen? So I'm not sure what age or what you're going to look like, or, you know, maybe have more hair or not. I don't know, you know? But we will be in bodily form, no? Okay? All right, so keep that in mind. The challenge of the first century to explain this was terminology and limited information, okay? So the terminology of the time, they use words that were present. They use structures and specific places that were present in the time to explain the afterlife. Yeah, the world that nobody had ever traveled to. So the early Christian authors, The early Christian authors, yeah, the first century, the Matthew, Mark, Luke, they're using words that, well, for the New Testament, were all Greek. And so they use Greek terms to explain the supernatural. And some of them are a little bit loaded because they're Greek words with Greek definitions that they're using to explain our belief in what happens post, right? Christian belief in what happens post-life. So there's some challenge there. So, for instance, let's go. Sheol, Old Testament Hebrew, Hades, New Testament Greek word. Both the Hebrew Jewish community, right, would define Sheol as a place of stillness and darkness, cut off from life and God, place of no return, the wicked sent there for punishment. In Greek belief of afterlife, there was a Greek god named Hades, yeah? The king of the underworld, the place where souls live after death. The Greek god Hermes, the messenger of the gods, would take the dead souls of the person of the underworld, yeah, sometimes called Hades or the house of Hades. Once crossed, the soul would be judged and sent to the field of punishment, or, yeah, a place prepared for those who lived pure lives, yeah, the Elysian fields. And even the Romans didn't differ too much from the common culture and the belief. They pretty much adopted Greek culture and Greek understanding and just changed the words around. And so early first century writers, use Greek language to try to communicate the teachings of Jesus. So kind of loaded words that had different understandings there, but they're trying to communicate there. So for instance, if I'm here in the 21st century in upcountry Maui, I'm not going to use the word Hades to talk about hell. Guys will be like, hey, what? You know, like, I'm going to try to find some kind of 21st language understanding of describing what hell is so somebody can understand you don't want to be there, you know? You know, and so that's what the early writers were trying to do when they talked about places like Gehenna. So here's one. This was an actual location. Yeah, present in Jerusalem. So Hinnom, Old Testament, Greek translation, Gehenna, the Valley of Hinnom, or slaughter also. They worshiped the false god Moloch and did some pretty horrific things in their worship. They were charged by God, and so this, like, around when they settled, when the Israelites settled into the promised land, yeah, it was south of Jerusalem, and so they were instructed and warned and commanded not to go near the valley. Under Ahaz, the one of the last rulers of the southern kingdom. So there was 12 tribes of Israel. They got conquered, separated. There was two tribes that stayed together, and Ahaz was the king of that kingdom. So he was a king of God's people. Under the cover of what he wanted to do, he wanted to worship false gods and do demonic practices. He went to this valley. Yeah. In turn, he was warned by the prophets not to do it because he was disobedient in worshiping other idols and other kings, false gods, and not being true to the one true God. Yeah, they ended up being conquered by the Babylonians. So there's some history with this place. In the first century, by the time first century comes, a lot of those horrific practices aren't happening anymore, praise God. I mean, hundreds of years had passed, but it was still a place of death. It was constantly burning, like there was fires all the time. Yeah, and they would burn the dead, and they would burn things and trash, and it was not a place that people wanted to be. And Jesus would use this location to explain the fires of hell. It was visible. People could smell the yeah, you guys get it. Yeah? And Jesus would use this as a location and say, like, this is kind of like a place you don't want to be. So he says, do not fear those who can kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both. And get this, soul and body in Gehenna. Right? This lake of fire that John talks about in Revelation. Yeah, where there's this eternal torment. Okay, so they're using the terminology in the time to talk about what is happening in the post-life. For Paul, there was no disconnect between the body and the soul. Like when you, we hear the command, right? Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. How do you explain that? We cannot, you know? Like all of those are embodied with inside of ourselves. We love God with ultimately all that we are. And so for Paul, there was no disconnect. For Greek belief, yeah, there was definitely a separation. When they looked at the body, that was no longer, it was lifeless. And so now what would continue after that? Yeah, their soul and their spirit into eternity. And that's not what Christian belief is. You guys all right? You guys following me? And so into our Christian belief, we have kind of wrapped up some separated, like, body and soul ideas. Some people believe they go immediately to heaven. And, you know, some people, even Christians, believe in purgatory. It's the place of waiting, right? So I die, Jesus didn't come back yet, and I'm waiting. So I'm in this limbo, and that's not biblical. You guys all right? Okay. What is biblical, though? Paul would say, regardless of if we die in the Lord or we rise in the Lord, if we wait or it's instant, the truth is we are always in the Lord. Amen. For all those who have faith in Jesus, we can be with the Lord now while we're breathing, and when we stop breathing, regardless of what happens, we can still be with the Lord. And so I tried to push back a little bit on what the common beliefs are, but the truth is that if we walk in the Lord now, yeah, we can be with the Lord later also. I'm not going to touch too much, but I wrote these down in your bulletin. There's notes. If you want to dive in deeper, here's four common Christian beliefs that are some are popular, some are new and rising, but there's Christians that are looking at this and they're trying to wrestle through what happens after this life ends. Yeah. And so if you want to go deeper, go look up holistic dualism, yeah, or monism, or non-reductive physicalists, or emergentism. They're talking about and they're wrestling with this, what happens in the midst of sin and what happens after this goes. And they're, for the most part, believers and some great philosophists and theorists. And I called one of my professors from college. He's like 75 and he just retired. I mean, he's been in and through this Bible many a times. Amen. And I said, so what? Where do they rise from? And he said, Kaipo, why you gotta ask me tough questions? I was like, yeah, you know, like stumping him. He said, I've spent a lot of time studying this and a lot of time in thought and prayer. And this guy, I took Greek 5 from him at his house. I mean, he's been doing this a long time, and I can just tell him scriptures and he'll be like, oh yeah, it says it here and this in context. And he said all he could say was, for Paul, they were connected, body and soul. And when the Lord comes back, we will be with him. Yeah. So just reaffirming what Paul clearly states. Yeah. But he did spend some adequate time in study. And so, right, Paul would confirm that we can be always with the Lord. John would write in Revelation, and I heard a voice from heaven saying, write this. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Blessed indeed, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labor and their deeds will follow them. Amen? Yeah, that can be a comfort to us today. That if we die, right, let's die in the Lord. Because I've been to many of funerals. And you guys are here this morning. It's beautiful outside and we're talking about funerals and death and stuff. But I'm hoping this will bring you guys some comfort as we leave here. Amen? That if we die, let us die in the Lord. Amen. If we have people around us, man, let us love them. Love them into the kingdom. With every power, every strength that is inside of us. Yeah. Let us do our due diligence. Okay, so we're going to continue a little bit. And we're going to talk about the Lord's return. We good? You guys tracking? Okay, so Paul would write. So chapter 5, verse 1. Now concerning times and seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you. For you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman. Oh. Sorry, I lost my... And they will not escape. Yeah? Women, labor pains, no escape. Yeah? Right? It's funny that Paul would use that 2,000 years ago, right? Looking at that was a good example of the Lord coming back and the end times. It's kind of like labor. Yeah? But Paul would continue and he says to the church, right? In Thessalonians, right? In Thessalonica, he says, but you are not in darkness, brothers, so that the day to surprise you like a thief in the night. Let this be an encouragement to you, because I hear a lot of Christians talk about the Lord coming back like a thief in the night, and we're not going to be ready. That's not true. Yeah, that's not true. Paul would continue, and he would say, for you are all children of the light and children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, yeah, and a helmet of the hope of salvation. And here Paul reconfirms some of the things that he's been talking about in this letter, and he had spent time and diligence talking about them. We know this, many of us maybe know this verse from Corinthians, right? There's faith, hope, and love, and the greatest is love, yeah? And so these three are critical in Paul's message, that when we're talking about faith, we're stating a clear trust and belief in facts, in events that happened. Right, so when I say I have faith in Jesus, it's not in something that didn't happen, that we don't know what's going on. It's like I have faith in Jesus means I have faith that Jesus was a real person, yeah? That he was born, that he had parents, yeah? That he loved, he did an amazing life, and he had miracles. Ultimately, he ended up in front of trial and betrayed. He died on the cross, dead for 3 days. He rose again on the third day. He hung out for about 40 days after that. And then ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of God. Things that happened is what we have faith in. In contrast to hope, we believe, right? We have hope in things that hasn't happened yet. So I'm not hoping you guys are going to show up today, right? Because you guys are all here. Physically. No. Yeah, just jabbing you guys a bit, right? Right? You guys are all here, but we have hope in the things, in as far as when it refers to Christianity, in the things that haven't happened yet, and ultimately, two things. Yeah? Well, I'll add a third in there. Jesus coming back, the resurrection of the dead, and what else are we hoping in? Maybe our loved ones coming to know the Lord, amen? That's a great thing to hope in. The people that you've been praying for, the family members you've been praying for, yeah? The employees, the enemies you have, whoever it is that you're praying for to come to know the Lord, man, hold on to the hope that you have in that. Yeah? Hold on to the hope that we have in Jesus Christ, that he is going to work through you, right, to do a miracle. Because separate from God doing a miracle in my life, I wouldn't be here. No? You wouldn't be here understanding who God is, the God of the universe. So have hope in that. Yeah, have hope in those things. Paul would continue. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Is that encouraging to you today? Amen? So whether in this life, right, we need salvation and being saved from our own selves and the world that we live in, or in the next life, being saved from death, yeah? God's desire for us is to abstain, you know, to obtain salvation through Jesus Christ, who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Amen? Amen. And so Paul would end that, and he would say, therefore, encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing. And so I'm hoping that this word this morning, right, accompanied with your lives in care and comfort, that we can comfort others well. In times of loss, and maybe some of you here this morning are still grieving and mourning the loss of a loved one. I hope God's word, embraced by people, right, today can bring the best type of comfort somebody can have. To be able to pray with each other, to mourn with each other, to grieve with one another, to rejoice with one another. That's our role as believers. Amen? The opportunity for us to walk with people and to know that when we're in those situations, people will walk with us. You know, and if for some reason you feel solo and lonely in this, hey, reach out to us. You know, we would love to come and support you guys and encourage you, right, as best as we can in the lives that you're living and with those who've gone on with the Lord. And I say this from firsthand experience, man. I've lost a lot of loved ones in my life. But because I, I,
I know what God's word is, and I'm surrounded by other people who know what God's word is. Like, we're able to make it through sometimes the season of grief and mourning. Amen. And so let's do that for one another. If you guys know people who've lost loved ones recently, you know, even in the last year, we may have forgotten about it, but it's still fresh in their minds, no? Yeah, when holiday seasons come around and things like that, it's good. Or birthdays or any kind of seasons, right? There's an empty seat in their house. But we can comfort them, amen? Because the God of all comfort lives in us. Okay, so Paul would wrap up, and I'm going to use this to wrap up our time in this series. Last closing verses. So Paul's closing remarks to this church. Respect your spiritual guides. Be at peace amongst yourselves. Admonish the idle. Encourage the faint-hearted. Help the weak. Be patient with all. Don't repay evil for evil. Always seek to do good to all. The second shortest verse in the Bible, rejoice always. Just letters wise. Yeah, just letters wise. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Anybody want to know another? So we talked last week about God's will for us, sanctification. Here's another place where Paul says, this is God's will for you. Give thanks in all circumstances. Amen? If God wants you to do anything, right, it's to rejoice always, to pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And lastly, he would say, don't quench the spirit. Don't despise prophecies. Test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. You got it all? Can we stand together as we close this morning? We're out a little bit early, praise God. We've been going long this month just because I'm not up here again next week. I got to take all my time I can. But yeah, come back next week. We're starting a new series. The other pastors, a part of our staff, are going to take over in a new series. I want to close this morning by reading Paul's closing prayer to the Thessalonians. And this will be my prayer for us this morning. Again, I really appreciate you guys coming out. I mean, knowing that I'm preaching, you still come, Shaka. You know, my prayer is that you guys have been encouraged, that you guys have been given some good meat to chew on and are able to encourage one another with what we've been talking about. Spend some time, you know, thinking about God's return. Yeah, it should change our posture a little bit in how we live life. And, you know, let's see more. Yeah, let's keep on going, Waipuna Chapel. God's doing some good things here. Amen. Yeah, let God use us, yeah, to continue to do good things in the world that we're living in today. So I'm going to read this, and this will be our closing prayer for today. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus. For he who calls you is faithful, and he will surely do it. Amen, 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 amen.